بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أم يحسدون الناس على ما آتاهم الله من فضله صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fadl and kindness, Allah's rahmat, Allah ta'ala gives us the opportunity to sit in this gathering solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the intention of making tazkiyah of our nafs. And we have mentioned in the past few weeks the importance of tazkiyah, purifying our soul from all the spiritual maladies that we have, the importance of making mukhalafat of our nafs, opposing our nafs. Nafs will tempt us all the time, and this is a lifelong struggle. It is a kushti, as our mashayikh say, it is a wrestling match. Kabhi wo dabale, kabhi tu dabale. Sometimes the nafs overpowers you, sometimes you overpower the nafs. Right till you leave this world, this is an ongoing struggle and fight. And we mentioned the different types and stages of nafs, nafse ammara, lawwama, and mutmainna. And it is only through the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala makes the tazkiyah of our hearts. So we have to make dua to Allah. Oh Allah, you help me to make my islah. And in this islah, in this reformation, it is not an overnight affair. It is not something very simple. There is great pain, there is an effort, there is a struggle. Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned that islah bila mashaqqat mumkin nahi. It is not possible for a person's reformation to take place without going any pain, any struggle, any effort. And as we mentioned, like how we have a car, meets up with an accident, Allah save us, Allah give us afiyat. But what do we do with that car that is dented? We take it to a panel beater. And thereafter, the panel beater will work on the car until after some time, it is like new again. Like that, we have to do the panel beating of our heart. And it's a regular panel beating. So different wa'az, the sihat, we will hear, we will understand. Slowly, with the real, as I mentioned last week and all the other weeks, we must have that firm determination. We must have a resolve, an azam. Ya Allah, I am going to bring this change in my life with your help, your assistance. Otherwise, it's just a casual talk that we will listen to, and after some time, it will just fizzle away, it's all over. No, when a person listens to this type of majlis with this intention that, Ya Allah, I want my heart, my dil to become pak and saf, as we make dua, Ya Allah, hamari dilon ko musaffa, mujalla, muzakka bana. It must become polished, shining. It must be bright again. As the stain of sin comes onto our heart, we need to wash it. And that's why in the zikr majlis, we keep on mentioning the benefits of zikrullah. So for all this, we require himmat, himmat. And all our mashayikh are unanimous that a person needs to have that himmat, that courage to overcome the temptations of nafs and the whisperings of shaitan. And you take a baby step towards Allah, and Allah comes running towards you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. And the fact that we are sitting here, through the kindness and fadl of Allah, is a sign that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us His true muhabbat, His true love. And you will recall the incident of that ant, which for me is a very intriguing incident, that how that ant had thought that a person who wanted to conquer Hindustan, and he made various attempts, and when he failed, Taimur Langar, his name was. And when he took ibrat from an ant that crawled up the rock, and each time it slipped, fell down, it climbed again and again and again, until finally, after several attempts, it came right to the top of the rock. This was a lesson for him to have himmat and determination in whatever he was going to do. And this is a lesson for us to have determination, that come what may, Jaan bhi chali ja. Even if my life is going to go away, I am not going to displease my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last week we emphasized the importance of mu'amalat, dealings, mu'asharat, our social conducts with people. As I mentioned, that we have different branches of our deen. One is aqidah, our aqaid, our beliefs. That's fundamental, absolutely important. The belief we have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the oneness of Allah, His qualities, His names, His power, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no partners, the kitabs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the day of qiyamah, taqdeer, the angels, all these things are aqidah. But our aqid is inside the heart. Nobody, a non-Muslim, cannot see our aqidah. We cannot see somebody else's aqidah. It's absolutely important, and that's the very first step a person takes towards turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to make his aqid solid, his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we have ibadah. So even ibadah is something that is within the four walls of our homes or masjid. A non-Muslim does not see our ibadah. And if he does see, then is it just a handful of them? Or even those who see our ibadah, they don't understand the aspects of our ibadah. Why are we standing? Why are we going to ruku? What are we doing? What they do see is our mu'amalat, our akhlaq, our mu'ashara, our dealings, how we deal with them. Are we honest? Are we deceiving them? Are we cheating them? So this is something that will influence them and bring them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, closer to accepting iman and deen. Or it may take them even further away from deen if we do not deal according to the teachings of sharia. So mu'amalat is extremely important all the time. Our akhlaq, how we behave. Not only in the masjid, out of the masjid, at home, with our wives, with our children, in our madrasas, with our teachers, with our principal, in the institutions, in our offices, in our workplaces, in the hospitals, in the colleges, every single place. And unfortunately, this is something that we are all seeming to be failing miserably. Just 2-3 days ago, a person explained to me, he's working in some corporate world, some type of place. And again, he told me, Mawlana, it is so sad, that outwardly pious people, wearing sunnat libas, but the manner in which they speak, they are so rude, swearing, using vulgar language. People become so disillusioned. This is your deen, this is your religion. And therefore, inshallah, if we ponder over this and try and bring some change in our life, this is what tazkiyah is all about. This is tasawuf. That this is haqiqat of tasawuf, that kisi ko takleef mat dijiye. Last week this was the topic. Kisi ko takleef mat dijiye. Don't give any person takleef. Come to the masjid, parking also. Do not give anybody takleef. Don't park in somebody's entrance. When we are dealing with people, don't give any person takleef. Be kind, be polite, overlook, forgive. This will bring noor in our heart. This will give us a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah tonight we will discuss on a very serious disease and malady of the heart, and that is hasad. Or mashayikh say, ye ek muhlik bimari hai. It is a very devastating malady. It is something very, very serious. It is so serious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us in the Quran and in fact instructed us to seek protection from the envy and the jealousy of a jealous person. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ وَمِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ وَمِنْ شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدْ وَمِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ. So whilst Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us in Mu'awwadhatin, in Surah Falaq and Nas, to seek protection in Allah from shaitan, from the whisperings of shaitan, Allah also instructs us to seek protection from the people doing witchcraft and magic, and also from those who are envious and jealous. So from this we understand, it is as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought the evils of a jealous person to the rank of shaitan and a magician, a sorcerer. It is such a serious malady of the heart. A person who has hasad, what is hasad? Ulama explain, hasad is to have tamanna. You desire that a ni'mat some person is enjoying, it must be taken away from him. If somebody has got wealth, for example. Now, the person who is jealous, he desires that this wealth this person is enjoying, Allah Ta'ala must deprive him of it. Allah must snatch it away, Allah must take it away from him. Tizaka, ND731546, kindly remove your vehicle, somebody is being obstructed. So what is hasad again? Tamanni zawali ni'mah min al-ghayr. A person has that desire and tamanna that whatever ni'mat somebody is enjoying, whether he's got wealth, whether he's got knowledge, or whatever he's got, something of this dunya, that Allah must take it away from him, deprive him of that. So this is totally haram. A jealous person, what are his days of happiness? When you are sick, when you are suffering, you become poor, there's a loss in your business, you're not so prosperous. In front of you, he will flatter you, he'll praise you. This is one sign of a jealous person. Now every person who praises you, don't think that he's jealous of you. But generally, this is a symptom of a person. He will try and flatter you and praise you in front of you. But behind your back, he'll be making your ghibah. He'll be backbiting. Hasad. He does not want to see you happy. If you're sick, he becomes happy. If you are suffering some loss, dunya loss, he's happy. The most difficult days for him is when you are gaining prosperity. He sees more customers coming into your shop, into your factory, purchasing from you, and they're going out purchasing many, many goods. He cannot take that. He doesn't want to see you becoming prosperous. He wants to see your downfall. Wo chahta hai ki tu gire, gire, gire. You must fall. To such a level that eventually he wishes for your mort, for your death. This is hasad. So he wishes that your life must go away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the two sons of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam in the sixth juz. وَاتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ بَنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ. The tafsir is long, but the story very briefly is, see, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah ta'ala made his nikah to Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam. They lived. Now obviously, they had children. Now for procreation, in that sharia, listen very carefully, not in our sharia now. In that creation, I mean, that's the first man and woman in this world. Now they had children. So how are those children now going to increase? How is insan going to increase? So Allah in that sharia made it such that Hawa, she gave birth to twins. Each time she gave birth. There's several amount of times she gave birth. Each time she gave birth to, in Arabic you say, Tawamain, twins. One boy and one girl. It was not permissible for that boy and that girl, that brother and that sister, who were twin brothers and sisters from that birth, to get married. But it was permissible for them now to get married to their brother and sister who were twins when Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam had given birth to them. That was separately. So this brother was then told to marry that sister, and that brother was allowed to get married to this sister. Again, not this brother and sister who are born together, those twins. They were told to get married to the other pair. So like this, they were growing, and insan was being produced, or insan was growing, until there were two brothers, or there was a Hawa gave birth to a child who was known as Habil, and he had a sister. And before them was Qabil and his sister. So now, Habil had to get married to Qabil's sister, and Qabil had to get married to Habil's sister. But it so happened that Qabil's sister was very beautiful, and Habil's sister was not good looking. So immediately, Qabil was not happy. He was displeased. He was naraz. He said, no, this is not possible. That my sister is so beautiful and you're going to marry her? And your sister is not beautiful. I must marry her? Impossible. But the hukam of the shariat of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the nikah must take place in this way. Now he's refusing. Now see, this is a similar thing happens. That Allah's hukam comes to us and we refute that hukam. We do not want to accept the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he becomes envious of his brother that he must marry such a beautiful woman who is my sister and his sister, and I must marry her and she is not good looking. So they began to dispute. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they took this matter
to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. He was the father. And he said, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed that Habil, you must get married to the sister of Qabil, and Qabil, you must get married to Habil's sister. But he was not happy. So then the father said, okay, both of you must present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a sacrifice. In that time, in that sharia, how we have qurbani now, Eid al-Adha, we slaughter an animal, we make qurbani for an animal. The word qurbani is taken from that word. Qurbani here is Urdu, but Arabic also the word qurban, which means a sacrifice. In our sharia, Allah is so kind, so kind. The qurbani we make from the animal, we allow to eat ourselves. You can eat the whole animal if you wish. Although sharia tells you give one third to the poor, etc. But if you eat the whole animal, it's permissible for you. But in that sharia, whatever qurbani they gave forward, as a sign of maqbooliyat from Allah, of qabooliyat from Allah, a sign was a fire would come and devour that sacrifice. That was a sign that Allah accepted this person's sacrifice. So Adam alayhi salam tells the two sons that put forward your qurbani. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the qurbani of the person who has got taqwa. So both put their sacrifices. Habil had livestock. So he put a ram or a goat. And Qabil, who was not happy, was displeased. He had grain. So he had been harvesting his crops, so he put his grain in front. Allah made it such, إِذْ قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانًا فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted one's qurbani and Allah rejected the other ones. Whose qurbani was accepted? Habil. Qabil, the one who was displeased with Allah's decision that he must marry the other Habil's sister, he was displeased, he was naraz. Allah did not accept his sacrifice. His grain remained still the same. So he became angry. His brother tells him, Allah accepts from the one who is muttaqi. In other words, if you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obey Allah's commandment, your qurban will be accepted. What happens after that? He says, لَإِن بَسَطَّ إِلَيْ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا So he tells him, Qabil tells Habil, I'm going to kill you. لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ I will kill you. See, again this hasad drove him to this point. He could not bear it. He could not enjoy it. This is when a hasid, a jealous person, he is always suffering. He's got bitterness in his heart. He's suffering agony, anguish. There's some pain. There's some torment. He's parashan. That is why mashayikh have written, they say, a hasid, before his hasad, his envy can reach the mahsud, the person who he is envying. The hasid, the one who's jealous, before his envy can reach the person who he is envious and jealous of, this hasad will kill him. It will finish him up. The other person may be relaxing and sleeping, but the one who is envious and jealous, he is parishan, he is in agony, he is, wants to see the downfall of the other person. So he is planning and plotting and thinking of different plans to harm the person who he is envious of. So he says, I will kill you. So this brother says, if you are going to stretch your hand to kill me, I won't do so. مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطِ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ But you find Qabil, because he was so jealous, he then killed Habil. So the incident goes further, how Allah ta'ala then sent down a crow to show him how to bury his brother, but the damage was done. And therefore in the hadith of Rasulullah s.a.w., it is mentioned that till the day of Qiyamah, every person who is killed unjustly, he's killed out of zulam, then the sin will also be, of course, the killer, he's sinful, but Qabil, the one who initiated killing in this world, the very first person who started killing in this world, he will also share part of the sin of the killer of every single killing. And therefore, ulama have said, the very first sin in the sky and the very first sin in the earth was hasad. Shaitan could not stomach the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make Adam a better makhluk than him. And Allah told the angel to bow down to Adam. So of course he had pride, Shaitan had pride, but it was jealousy. That how can he be so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah is sending him into this world. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ And this Allah has honored Bani Adam. He could not take it. So the very first sin, أَوَّلُ خَطِئَةً فِي السَّمَاءِ was hasad. And أَوَّلُ خَطِئَةً فِي الْأَرْضِ is hasad. What was it that led the Yahud to have hasad? They could not stomach that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's from the Arabs. They knew this last Nabi is going to come. The Torah had the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they wanted him to come from their progeny, from the Jews. حَسَدًا مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi of Allah. We know the whole incident, Ramadan, we discussed the tafsir of Surah Yusuf. What was it? His brothers, they were believers. Yet they had this jealousy that our father, he loves Yusuf and his brother Binyamin more than he loves us. So what did they do? The jealousy spurred them on to take away the life of Yusuf alayhi salam. Allah protected him, but they threw him into the well, thinking this will be the end of him. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it sad that finally, after years, when they come in front of Yusuf, أَيْنَّكَ اللَّهُ أَنْتَ Yusuf. They get a shock of their life, that this is the, you are the same human Yusuf. So hasad, Allah talks about hasad in the Qur'an, various verses. إِن تَمْسَسْكُمْ حَسَنَةٌ تَسُؤْهُمْ وَإِن تُسِبْكُمْ سَيَّةٌ يَفْرَحُوا بِهَا See, a hasid, when you are gaining prosperity, when you're getting good, and you're getting more things of this dunya, then the person who is a hasid, he feels very, very miserable about it. He's not happy at all. If some bala comes upon you, some difficulty, some sickness, he's happy. So if a person, so that is why we're saying this jealousy is such a bimari that is muhlik. It destroys the person. There was a king, and he had a very close advisor, a minister, always right next to him, and advising him, and he would tell him that those who do good, be good to them. Those who do evil, forgive them, pardon them. But there was a certain minister also, who would see this person, this minister, right next to the king, so close, he could not bear this. He was envious of him. He was jealous of him. That why is he so close to the king? So maybe in our world we don't have a king that we are so close to. But in our own world, whether we in a university or a madrasa or a workplace, we find sometimes somebody is very close to the boss. And we're not too happy. Some student very close to the ustad. Some murid very close to the sheikh. One child closer to the parent. So this brings about this jealousy. So he thought of a plan. He said, I'm not too happy. This person must go move away from the king. So he goes to the king quietly and tells him that, Bacha, you know, this man who comes to you, you know what, just watch him, observe him carefully. When he's talking to you, he places his finger by his nose because he sees that you've got a very bad breath that is coming out of your mouth. So he's covering his nose. The king said, is it that? So immediately now he's put into doubts. It so happens the next day this man comes and he's placing his fingers by his nose and he's whispering to the king. The king immediately says, what that man told me yesterday is right. So he thinks I've got a bad breath. So I'll fix him up. So he writes a note, the note of the king, a letter to another minister of his. And generally that minister, he was in charge of the finance of the king. If any person is getting a gift from the king will write a note and it will go to that minister and he'll give him whatever the king has written, whatever amount. So he writes this note, he says, go, take this and give it to that minister. What is written actually inside there? The moment this person brings the bearer of this letter, when the moment he comes to you, you must kill him. we must execution him. So as he's moving, and that person who was envious and jealous of him, he asked him, where are you going to? He said, the king gave me this letter, and probably I'm going to collect some nice money from this person, from the minister. So he said, is that so? Why don't you give me this letter? He said, no problem. You take it. Good luck to you. So he gives him. So this person goes to that minister, and very he's smiling and presents the letter. And this person opens and he says, listen here, the king's instruction is I must execution you. There's no gift, no hadiah for you. He said, no, actually not my letter. It's somebody else, you can verify it. Go to the king and ask him again. He says, king's hukam written, and I must go and ask him? You think I'm crazy? He kills him immediately. The next day, the same person who was a minister, who was the advisor of the king, as he came every day, he came by the king, and the king looks at him, how come you are here? He says, why? He said, but I gave this letter, that in the letter you must be killed. And the reason for this is that man said that you are complaining that I've got a bad breath. You see, Hazrat Badsha, what he had actually done was, he gave me garlic to eat just before I came to you. And that garlic was coming, the smell of the garlic was coming out from the odor from my mouth. I felt I would give you taklif, therefore I tried to cover my mouth as I was speaking to you. So see the scheme, what happens? That man was jealous, it led to his own mouth, his own death. So hasad is such a bimari. Rasulullah said, Dabba ilaykum da'ul umami qablakum. Al-hasad wal-baghda. The disease, the bimari of the ummats of the past has crept into you. The bimari, the disease of the ummats of the past has crept into you. Hasad and baghda. Jealousy and malice, enmity. Jealousy and malice. Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala, he said, we were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a gathering like this. And suddenly, a man goes past and he's got the effects of wudu. He just made wudu and he has his shoes just hung over his shoulder and he's going past. It was Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu had mentioned, if you see a person of Jannah, it's this man here. 3 days it happened like that. So Abdullah bin Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu was very curious. What is so special about Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu? The Rasulullah is saying that he is a person of Jannah. So he makes a plan. He says, you know, things are not very good at home. I need to come stay by you. He says, no problem. So for 3 nights he stays in the company, in the house of Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu. And he tries to see some extra ibadah that he's making, probably reading tahajjud the whole night, or tilawat, or dhikr, whatever it is. He finds nothing. In fact, in those 3 nights, he didn't find him reading some extra tahajjud even. Or even waking up for tahajjud. He sees at night as he'll turn, he'll take the karwat, he'll say Allah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, he'll praise Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, turn over and carry on. After 3 days, he goes to him and says, listen, this is the real story. I heard Rasulullah saying that you're a person of Jannah. So what is so special about you? What are you doing? He says, nothing. I'm an ordinary person. But perhaps, maybe, it is this, that I never have malice for any person, neither am I envious of any person to whatever Allah Ta'ala gives him in this dunya. I've got no malice and I've got no jealousy. And this is the thing that Allah Ta'ala made Rasulullah say that he is a person of Jannah. And that is why before entering into Jannah, every person, every Jannati, Allah says, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي سُدُولِهِمْ مِنْ غِلْ. That hasad, that bughz, the enmity, the adawat will be removed from every Jannati's heart before he enters Jannah. Because in Jannah there is no hasad, there is no malice, there is no adawat, there is no bughz. إِخْوَانًا, Allah says, there will be brothers عَلَى سُرُّ مُتَقَابِلِينَ, you know, facing one another on the couches, enjoying the bounties of Jannat. Rasulullah mentioned, Iyakum wal hasada. This is a hadith for us to learn, ponder, go home, reflect. Rasulullah says, beware Iyakum. The word Iyakum in Arabic is generally used for to warn somebody of something very, very dangerous. Like in Arabic, you find in the kitabs, they say, Iyaka wal asada. Now be careful of the lion. A lion is going to charge at you. The lion is coming towards you. So to get the person's attention immediately, he'll say, Iyaka wal asada. Beware, be careful, the lion is about to charge you. So escape, save yourself from it. Iyaka wal aqrab. Be careful of a scorpion. The scorpion is going to sting you. It's going to bite you. It's going to cause you pain and suffering. Like that. Iyaka wal hasad. Iyaka wal hasad. Be careful of hasad. فَإِنَّ الْحَسَدَ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ. Because hasad devours, it consumes all your good deeds. It consumes all your good deeds. كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارُ الْحَطَبُ. Like how fire burns, it eats up wood, it consumes wood. Like how it burns up the wood. Like that, all your nakis you are doing. You did so much of tahajjud, dhikr, tilawat of the Qur'an. All the good things with it suddenly is just being burnt away. Therefore, ulama say, one of the madarrat, the nuqsan of hasad is that your hasanat, your ta'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become destroyed. Then the second nuqsan is that the person who is jealous, as we mentioned, he's always in anguish, agony. He's not happy. Always pareshan, he's in turmoil, because he wants to see the downfall of that person. So he's waiting to hear some news, to see how that person, some nuqsan must come to him. He's not sleeping a restful and peaceful sleep. And then ulama have also mentioned other nuqsanat, other madarrat of hasad. That a person who has hasad, Allah Ta'ala makes his spiritual heart blind. Amyul qalb. The heart becomes blind. And this is so serious. When the heart becomes blind, ulama explain, لا يكاد يفهم أحكام الله سبحانه وتعالى. This person won't get the samaj, the faqahat, the understanding of the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of his hasad. He won't understand deen. He won't understand what Allah ta'ala wants from him. Then there'll be always khudlan, khusran for him. A person who is a hasid, he'll never get the madad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He'll be deprived of the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? As Mullah Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Pratap Gadi rahmatullahi alayhi had mentioned, and we've heard this many times from Hazrat Mawlana rahmatullahi alayhi and Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, hasad ki aag mein kyu jal rahe ho? Hasad ki aag mein kyu jal rahe ho? Why are you burning in the flame of jealousy? You are burning. You're not sleeping peacefully. It's all the time you're in anguish, pain, torment, you're in turmoil. You are burning. Your heart is burning. Why is he gaining more degrees? Why has he been chosen as an imam? Why he's been chosen as a president? Why he's been chosen as a president of an organization? Why has he got such a beautiful wife? Why he's got so many children? Why is his business thriving all the time? Why is he being able to go for overseas for holidays so often? Why he's going for Hajj and Umrah every year? Why? What's happening? Hasad ki aag mein kyu jal rahe ho? Why are you burning in the fire of hasad? Kaffi afsos kyu mal rahe ho? Kaff in Arabic and also Urdu means your palms. Afsos means regret, anguish, pain. You are rubbing your pain, your hands together. In anguish, in bitterness, you're watching, you're observing, you're seeing that man is getting, he's getting more degrees, he's getting more of dunya, he's getting more wealthy, and he's getting more happiness, and peace, and serenity, and he's getting so much of prosperity. You are rubbing your hands together, and you're biting your lips, you are angry, you are displeased. Kafi afsos kyu mal rahe ho? Khuda ki faisle se kyu ho naraz? This is the hukam of Allah, taqdeer of Allah. He must get so much. You must get so much. This is his taqdeer. This is your taqdeer. In essence, if you are showing enmity or jealousy and envy of somebody else, in essence, in reality, it means you're not happy with whatever Allah has decreed for mankind and for that person and for yourself. Jahannam ki taraf kyu chal rahe ho? Why are you moving towards Jahannam? Hasad will take you towards Jahannam. Beautiful four couplets. Hasad ki aag mein kyu jal rahe ho? Kaffi afsos kyu mal rahe ho? Khuda ki faisle se tum ho naraz? Jahannam ki taraf kyu chal rahe ho? Muhammad bin Sirin rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that when I look at a person in the dunya, he's got more than me, then I'm never envious of him. I don't have jealousy. Why? He says, if this person who I am envious of, if he is eventually min ahlil jannah, he's going to be getting jannat, then what's the purpose? كيف أحسد? How can I be envious and have jealousy of a man whom Allah is pleased with and Allah is giving him jannat? And he says, if he's going to go jahannam, then what's the sense of being jealous of a man who's going to go jahannam? There's no faida, no benefit in that. So there's no need to be envious of any person. يا حاسدا لي على نعمتي أتدري على من أسأت الأدب أسأت على الله في حكمه لأنك لم ترضى لي ما وهب. The same thing. Poet says that, oh person, you are so jealous of my ni'mat Allah gave me. Actually what you have done, you have not shown adab to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has made a fasla, Allah has given a hukam that I must get this and you must get that much. Now what you are doing, you're not happy with what Allah has bestowed upon me. Rasulullah has mentioned, and therefore it's very simple, and this one word only. La tahasadu. La tahasadu. Don't be envious of one another. Yes, there is another thing called ghibta. Ghibta is to desire that a certain person has got a certain quality in him, so you also desire that. But you don't desire that Allah must snatch away that quality from him. It must be given to you, and he must be deprived of it. There's a difference. Hasad is when you desire the zawal of the ni'mat. That ni'mat must be taken away from that person. He must be deprived, and he must be finished with that. He mustn't have it. And ghibta means, Ya Allah, you give him more, and give me also. But even in ghibta, there are only two things a person can have ghibta for. In other words, desirous of. Only two qualities. One is ilm that a person gives, ilm-e-deen. If Allah has given a person ilm-e-deen, and فَهُوَ يَقْضِي بِهِ وَيُعَلِّمُهُ, and he, in one riwayat comes hikmah, Allah has given him wisdom. Wisdom means Quran, hadith, ilm. So Allah has given him knowledge, and he's practicing upon that knowledge, then you also desire, Ya Allah, give me that knowledge of deen so I can also practice. You don't desire that ni'mat of knowledge must be taken away from him. But you desire also having that ni'mat of knowledge. Another person is a person who is wealthy. Allah has given him plentiful of wealth and he's spending it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's spending, فَهُوَ يَقْضِيهِ عَلَى هَلَكَتِهِ. So he spends it, whatever he has, completely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in good avenues. He's spending on the poor, the needy, the weak, the orphans, the widows, building masjid, madrasa, whatever. So you also desire, Allah, you give me also wealth like that. Give him also plentiful. And give me also so I can also spend in your path. This is permissible. So coming back to hasad, hasad is haram. Ghibta in these two things, to be desirous of these two qualities, is perfectly permissible. What is the ilaj of hasad? There's so many things, probably next week we'll continue a bit of it. What is the ilaj? What's the remedy of a person who's got hasad? If I'm jealous of some person, Allah protect me. What is the ilaj? The ulama explained, number one, you must have qana'at, contentment with whatever Allah has given you in this dunya. Don't ever look at the person above you in dunya. Because then you'll always desire more and more and you'll be displeased, you'll be unhappy, and then you'll have greed and you'll have hasad and you'll be jealous. Look at the one below you, lower than you. You've got shoes, he's got no shoes. He's got no feet. He's got no clothing. So you make shukr and you have qanaat, contentment, then inshallah you won't be a jealous person. Number two, think of maut a lot, in abundance. Why? When a person thinks of maut, he knows I'm going to pass away. So whatever I've got in dunya, little or more, it'll come to an end. So what's the point in now desiring what somebody else has got and be greedy of it and be jealous of him? I'm going to pass away. Then very important, ulama say that you must genuinely praise the person who you are jealous of. In front of your contemporaries, his contemporaries. Genuinely praise. One more than that, you must send him hadiah. Give him gifts. It's painful. I must spend my money on that guy, you know. So see, now you're going to be mukhalafat of your nafs. Tazkiyah is taking place. So you will give him hadiah. And even one step beyond this, this is the hardest thing. It's extremely difficult. But inshallah, if we do this, then that whole bimari of hasad comes out of our heart. What is it? That in the darkness of the night or at home in privacy you raise your hand and you beg Allah to make that person more successful and prosperous. You're so scared my dua is going to be accepted. Ya Allah, give him barakat. Ya Allah, give him happiness. Ya Allah, give him afiyat. Give him good life and health. That you are begging, you know, Ya Allah, what is a casual dua? Ya Allah, bless the ummah, finish. But yes, specifically, this is ilaj. This is the ICU. This is the operation that takes place. Ya Allah, give me tawfiq, give all of us tawfiq. Hasad, muhlik bimari hai. And this is the ilaj. Simple. Make dua for the person. Give him some hadiah. Praise him. Genuinely praise him. Not in front of him, just flatter him. And behind his back, you make ghibat. May Allah give us tawfiq al-hidayat. To remove all these spiritual maladies from our heart. This majlis is a short brief, but inshallah we will recap. And again, there are so many things that we will link again to hasad. It's not we just heard one talk, and now we're completely free from it. Yes, we have determination. Take those few steps, positive steps. Allah Ta'ala will then make our dil musaffa, mujalla, muzakka. Because this is what Allah Ta'ala wants. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as well. The batini sunnah. We have zahiri sunnah and the batini. This is what Allah Ta'ala looks at. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will grant us that manzil I always spoke about. What is our manzil? Our destination. We're all moving on this journey of suluk and tazkiyah and tasawuf. In this world, we're moving. Who is our destination? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We want to gain the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. If this heart, we're going to fill with all these spiritual ailments and diseases and sicknesses, then how is the love of Allah Ta'ala going to our heart? وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك واتوب إليك